Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It's Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. We're brought to you by the Hoosier Hardwood Festival coming up this weekend at the Marion County Fairgrounds. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a lumberjack show, lumberjack camps, chainsaw carving artists, and an auction of their wares, Indiana's best logger competition, and you have festival fun too. So there's going to be live music, a spirits and beer garden, lots of wood-based arts and crafts, the Dan Dockett Show on 107.5 The Fan, Friday from noon to 3. You know what? Whatever you think Ron Swanson would want out at the Marion County Fairgrounds this weekend, that's what's going to be there. I'm going out there Friday. I'm going out there Sunday, too. I want to buy some furniture that's not made of particle board. I want real wood furniture, and I'm going to talk my wife into buying something that we can keep around the house and that we're going to treasure for a long time. Friday, noon to 8, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then Sunday from 9 to 3. Let's talk about sports, shall we? The Colts wrapped up camp today. We're going to talk about that first. Then we're going to talk about Robin Miller and then Rachel Nichols a little bit as well. And then we're going to celebrate a Cubs victory because they don't come along too often anymore. All right, what did we learn from camp? I don't know. What we learned from Frank Reich today, as he did his final media availability at the end of camp, is that the starters are going to sit on Friday night when they play the Detroit Lions. All right, Dan Campbell, Frank Reich, they had a conversation. They decided not to play the starters, so starters aren't going to play. Obviously, Carson Wentz is not going to play. Wentz, for him to play in week one, what he and Quentin Nelson have to do, according to Frank Reich, is they've got to put together multiple days of full-on, full-pad practice in a row in order to show that they're able to go in week one, September 12th, against the Seattle Seahawks. Okay? Julian Davenport, Reich said that he's comfortable with at left tackle. I don't buy that for a minute. That's what he's going to say. What's he going to say? We don't have a left tackle. He played better, right, this past weekend up in Minneapolis. Julian Davenport played better, showed out better. We're going to see how confident, really, Frank Reich is day after tomorrow up in Detroit. Is Julian Davenport going to play? If he doesn't play, that means that Eric Fisher is not going to play. For the opener, he was asked, Frank Reich was, about Eric Fisher. And what he said about Fisher is that he feels good about the track that Eric Fisher is on, but he's got to wait for the docs to clear him to move on to the next step in his rehabilitation from that surgically repaired Achilles tendon. So there you go. When is Eric Fisher going to play? We don't know because Frank Reich, frankly, doesn't know. He's waiting on the doctors to kind of determine next step. Quentin Nelson was asked about whether he's going to play for the opener, and he said, I'm doing everything I can to get back for week one, but it's going to take the docs, it's going to take the trainers, it's going to take everybody to kind of confirm that Quentin can't do any further damage to that foot, which he said was caused by somebody stepping on his foot. He went back to the huddle limping a little bit, went in for another rotation, and then decided, you know what, there might be something wrong here. You have that sense, don't you? when something's truly wrong, when it's not pain, but it's injury. Quentin Nelson did, and it's a good thing. It might have gotten worse, much worse, had he continued to work through it before getting it surgically repaired. Jonathan Taylor says that he's ready to play. He's not going to play this Friday. He will not have taken a single rep in the preseason, in a preseason game. What the hell do we have the preseason for? Why does this thing exist? Why do they play the preseason? Why are there commercials during these games? And why do they sell tickets to these games? You don't see any of the players that you want to see play. I have no idea why I watch every game start to finish. So maybe I'm part of the problem, not part of the solution. Maybe the solution is the hell with it. The preseason is complete nonsense. Why are we watching third-string offensive linemen block for a third-string quarterback as he tries to throw to third-string wide receivers? Tell me how that makes any sense at all. But what do? We watch from start to finish. So, again, part of the problem, not part of the solution. I'll be right back there as the Colts take on the Detroit Lions Friday night at 7, primarily, in a lot of respects, to listen to what Rick Venturi has to say about this team and how he forecasts their ability to compete throughout the regular season. 17 games is different. And so the preseason has become different with the 17-game regular season. No coach, no trainers, no docs are certain as to how this should work or how it's going to work. And so what do? They hold guys back. They are not going to force guys to play too much football in the preseason when it doesn't matter whether the Colts or anybody else wins, loses, draws. Doesn't make any difference. We're going to get a chance to see the backups and try to figure some things out. And since Carson Wentz came back to practice, we spent a whole lot less of our time talking about Jacob Eason and Sam Ehlinger. And thank God for that, because 3 weeks of debating the merits of Jacob Eason versus Sam Ehlinger. Wow, that is a heck of a way to spend 3 weeks. You know, arguing about that is like arguing about whether it's going to rain tomorrow. Yeah, it's going to rain tomorrow, right? If the forecast is 100% rain, it's going to rain. It's just a matter of degrees of rain. Are we going to get an inch? Or are we going to get an inch and a half? We know that Eason and Ehlinger cannot play winning football at this point for the Indianapolis Colts. Can Eason develop into a starter who can win games? We don't know. We get to see, I guess, another chapter in that evolution on Friday night. And same thing with Ehlinger, who threw a bad pick in the first game of the preseason and then two picks in week two. Let's hope he doesn't follow that up with three picks in week three. But who knows? Eason threw a pass today that looked like it was going to be intercepted, and then it wasn't. T.Y. Hilton, he went down today, but he got back up and he went back in. But it looked kind of grim. There is some quiet among the fans today during the final day of the preseason, which was only open to fans who are season ticket holders. So there you go. The Colts, we're going to see what it's all about on September 12th. We got 2.5 weeks till they get going for real, and we're going to find out in a hurry whether this team is able to compete. Now, we've seen, do you know the last time the Colts won a regular season opener? It was 2013. And the time before that was 2009, when the Colts won their first 14 games of the season. The Colts have not won the first two games of a regular season. I can't even remember. It may be 2009. It's been a long time since they've gone 2-0. 2-0 would go a long way toward quelling some nerves around here as to where this team is headed. Because coming off those first two, which are at Lucas Oil Stadium against the Seahawks and the Rams, you got three on the road against the Titans, the Dolphins, and then the Baltimore Ravens. That is a tough row to hoe for the first five games of the season. And we'll see exactly what the Indianapolis Colts can do during those first three games. I want to talk about Robin Miller for a minute. Robin Miller passed away today at the age of 71. And Robin Miller was a really interesting guy. And I've known Robin Miller not well, but I got to know him a little bit about 25 years ago when he signed on to do a sports talk show with Jim Barber on WIBC. Robin Miller at the time was the guy, the polarizing figure, the guy you needed to read every single time he wrote in the Indianapolis Star, whether it was under Robin's name or the old scout or whatever. And so hiring Robin was a no-brainer. Then what happened with Robin is the Indianapolis Star would only let him host three nights a week, and they wouldn't let Emmis monetize his values. So no endorsements with Robin Miller, and that made it difficult. And then what happened with Robin Miller was he took sides with Roger Penske and Cart against the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the Indy Racing League, as it was called then. Now it's called IndyCar. And people in Indianapolis saw this as heresy, an anti-Indianapolis, anti-Indy 500 take, and they held him accountable for that. Robin Miller always wrote from the heart. He was a gifted writer and a gifted thinker. And in this instance, he wrote from the heart because of his love for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and his love for the Indianapolis 500. Him expressing that love in the way he did turned off a lot of people in Indianapolis. And so when we did a research study at WIBC to find out the popularity of all the talent on the radio station, it came back resoundingly anti-Robin Miller. And so Robin Miller was fired from MS Communications and WIBC. He was given 2 weeks to continue doing his show. And on the last night he did his show, he went after me with both barrels for 2 hours. It was nothing but yelling about what a weasel I am. And I didn't understand it in the moment because I had nothing to do with the decision. While I agreed with it, I wasn't the program director. I was the assistant program director. I had no say. I sat in the room because our program director allowed me to sit in the room as decisions were made. Did I voice an opinion? Of course you voice an opinion, but it's not my job to hire or fire WIBC. If it had been my job, the decision was obvious, and that's the decision that was made. But it wasn't mine. Robin held me accountable for it at a level that was, frankly, I've never heard it on live radio before or since. He did not like me whatsoever, or did not like who he believed me to be. And so he went away, and for about 25 years, I never spoke to Robin. He never spoke to me. And neither of us missed the other because we never really had a relationship whatsoever. I saw him at the track a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, and I'm waiting for the elevator in the media tower, and he walked up and he said, "Hello." I said, "Hello." I don't think he recognized me. I was of no importance to Robin Miller. But it always kind of bothered me. It always sort of stuck. It was kind of a sliver under my fingernail, the way he went after me on that last sports talk with Robin Miller and Jim Barber. And so I would ask guys who worked for the Indianapolis Star, and these are like crusty journalistic veterans, whether it's Mike Chappell or Conrad Brunner or Mark Monteith or Bill Benner or any of the guys who worked with Robin Miller. And I'd say, "Tell me about Robin Miller. What do you think about Robin Miller?" To a man, they loved Robin Miller. They said nothing but generous things, praiseful things about Robin Miller, and told stories, each of them, anecdotes about moments of generosity from Robin Miller toward them that really made me reevaluate who I believed Robin Miller to be. I weighed him based upon 2 hours of live radio back in like 1996 or whenever it was, and I should have been a lot more circumspect about who Robin Miller was. The decision was right to pull him off the show because, number one, you couldn't monetize him. Number two, he could only do 3 days a week, so it was a completely inconsistent product. Number three, the research showed that Indianapolis at that moment hated Robin Miller. Straight up hated Robin Miller, and that's what took him down at the Star as well. But he was a terrific writer, and by all accounts, and by accounts of people who would have told me exactly what they thought, if it was kind of the opposite, if it was negative, they would have unloaded. But it wasn't. It was very, very positive, and so I think Robin Miller is going to be missed, and I think he has been missed at the Indianapolis Star since he was let go from there. Because Robin Miller was a voice that came from his heart. It might not always have been the smart play, but he was always true to what he believed. And that's what I need from a columnist. And so Robin Miller, his passing today, I think is very, very sad. I never had a conversation with Robin Miller after he separated from Emmis, because we had no relationship, and there was no, you know, there was nowhere to go from nowhere, right, in order to resolve what neither of us felt any kind of compulsion to resolve. But in talking to people about Robin, I learned a lot about him and who he was as a human being, and how much he loved racing, and how personally he took it when CART and the Indy Racing League, when they separated. And so, rest in peace, Robin Miller. Rachel Nichols is not going to be on ESPN anymore. They're canceling The Jump, which is fine by me, because it was never really a conveyor of interesting analysis of the NBA. It was all personality pieces and a lot of laughs, and that's not what I'm looking for from ESPN. Rachel Nichols got into some trouble last month when a story appeared in the New York Times that detailed a conversation that she had in what she thought was a private phone conversation. It wasn't. It was being recorded by a live mic. There was a live mic in the room. It was recorded in Bristol. It was spread in Bristol, emailed to people in Bristol, and then finally some of that email got loose to the New York Times, where she was critical while also praising Maria Taylor. But Maria Taylor left ESPN to go to NBC Sports, and now Rachel Nichols and ESPN are parting ways, and it just shows kind of how cutthroat sports media can be, and how unfortunate that is. You know, I don't know to what extent people are ambitious. I think if they subvert their ambition a little bit and they become better human beings, I think that serves them well, and would have served Rachel Nichols well in this instance. Tomorrow morning, Breakfast with Kent, we're going to talk about the Colts, may talk about the top 10 games in Indianapolis Colts history. In the meantime, you know what? Godspeed, Robin Miller. And to those who loved him, our hearts are with you today. And so we'll talk to you about all of this tomorrow morning. Breakfast with Kent, brought to you by the great people at the Hoosier Hardwood Festival, coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Marion County Fairgrounds. Let's go. Let's cut some wood.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.